Good Sunday morning to everyone. God bless you. And I thank God for this day. This is the 22nd day, am I correct, of June, I do believe, 23rd day of June in the year of our Lord 2024. I am so grateful to be here this morning as well. I hope that you are, those of you that are here in person in this room as well, those that are joining us here as you do each Sunday on our streaming broadcast. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited today for what the Lord has done to get us here safely over the years and even in this past week when sometime it seems like it was going to be a bit difficult and going to be trying. Sometime we felt like maybe we weren't going to make it for one reason or another. And one reason would have been because it has been extremely hot. Amen. But you got to thank God for that because a few months ago it was extremely cold. So in the midst of all of this heat, think back in January where we were paralyzed for about 3 days and couldn't move because the ice wouldn't melt. So put a mixture between the two and you're going to come up with a happy medium. Amen. Where you can thank God for all of the various weather and climate changes. But what we say this morning is, God, we thank you for it all. Amen. So we're rejoicing in that this is the Lord's doing, and it's great. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness therein, the world and they that dwell therein. I am so grateful. Let's just slip our hands together and bless God today. Amen. As we make this physical presentation, putting our hands together just to say, Lord, we praise you this morning. Amen. And I thank God for it. Saying hello to everyone and also happy birthday to my eldest son. I had a conversation with him on his birthday this past week. He turned 40 years old. And he was excited about it. He was just thankful that he is here and that most of all that he know God and that he has a wonderful relationship with God. So happy birthday to my eldest son, Joel Stephen Hirth. Amen. We're also praying for him and that my grandson, Jaden Isaiah's mom, transition as a result of a brain tumor. Now that's my grandson's mother, Janae. She went in on my grandson's graduation day to the hospital, and everything was so quick and sudden. And they will be having her homegoing service in Vallejo, California, next Friday. I'm not going to be able to make it to be there with my son and my grandson this time, but we do solicit your prayers as this is quite a shock. But my grandson is a very resilient person of faith, and I was glad to hear my son say that as he watch on with his son, it's almost like a deja vu because my son lost his mom at a very young age. These things happen. Not to be sad, but to know that in and all, we can put our total trust and confidence in God. Amen. So that we can get it clear, that is my grandson's mother had a tumor on the brain, and as a result of it, she did not recover. Janae is her name. Amen. So I'm praying for my son, for my grandson, and their family. Amen. But happy birthday, most of all, to you, Joel, and enjoy 40. Amen. Y'all remember when y'all were 40? Yeah. yelling out, it wasn't but a couple of days ago that you were 40. Yeah, just a few days ago. Amen. Listen, this morning I want to get something. I want you to work with me. Work with me real good. I won't be long. Notice the I won't be long. So it's if you work with me, I won't be long. Amen. Because I'm going to get something today that is going to be informational, something that is going to be instructional. It's going to be informative. It is our next step. Say that with me, the next step. We have been working so diligently together. And let me just pause to say to you all that I have really enjoyed our spiritual journey as we are really, truly moving forward. Being the man of God, I feel like we're moving forward. Growth is a part of knowing when it's time to move on. It's immature to continue in a way when you know that it's less than productive. I'm going to say that once again. It's very immature to continue on when you know that it is less than productive. So that you can hear it from the scriptures, Paul said, when I was a child, those are the things that I did, the things that were pertaining to a child. But now that I've become a man, of course I'm paraphrasing, I've put those things behind me. And I like when he says also, he says, now, therefore, leaving the doctrines of Jesus Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again all of this devotion to baptisms and days and traditions, but he says that we ought to add some things to our faith. We should grow. Now, it sounds strange when it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He didn't say abandon them. His instructions is that you should build on them. You have to ask yourself individually, am I making or am I growing? Am I growing? Comparatively, where am I when it comes to comparing to where I was? Where do you measure that? You measure it in your day-to-day life, how you associate with people, your mindset, your outlook, your very thoughts, how you conduct yourself with others. Don't fool yourself. True character is who you are when you're not in front of me. That's what you are when it comes to your true character. It's not who you are when you are in front of me. It's who you are when I'm not there and no one else is. And I would hate to think that I'm one person when I'm up here, but Cassandra know me as a totally different person when I'm at my home. That's sad. As a matter of fact, I need to give my own self the benediction. I should cease and be silent when I'm one person here in front of you, but then my true character comes out when I'm another person at home in other places. If I'm concerned about you eating physically, I should be concerned about you eating spiritually. Amen. And I shouldn't say, well, as long as I put food on the table, then you ought to be happy. I should show you love, compassion, concern about what's going on in your life. Amen. Your family. I can't imagine having so many people, thousands of people, that I come in contact with you somewhere in public and I don't even know that you're a parishioner. You're a part of the fold. It would be just a sad day for me. I know I'm bad with names, but I should at least recognize your face. Amen. Because it's not a strange thing for me to say, tell me your name one more time. I had to get honest about it, you know. But it's worse than sad when I don't even recognize you. We're going to go to the book of Joshua today. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. That's where I'm going to start reading. Now listen to how I'm going to break this up. I'm going to read verse 1 and a portion of verse 2. Joshua 24, I'm going to read verse 1, portion of verse 2. I'm going to stop at that portion of verse 2, and I'm going to skip down to verse number 13. But when I read it, you won't really hear the break. I'm just going to save some time by not reading all of those verses. But it's a continuation. It'll make sense as I start to unfold it. Okay? That's Joshua 24. I think it's prepared to go on the overhead. But for those that cannot see it, you're in your Bibles streaming with us, Joshua 24. Verse number 1 says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And there they presented themselves before God. Verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people. Now that's where I'm going to take a pause in verse 2. And he goes on with what he began to say to all of the people. Verse number 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards, of the olive yards, which ye planted not. Do ye eat? Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seems evil, or if it seems unfair, or if it seems unreasonable, I mean, if it's just too much for you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, this is not a condition whether or not you are going to serve. This is saying you're going to serve, but you're going to choose who you're going to serve. Tell somebody close to you, you're going to serve somebody. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, not in my house, but as for me and, that's both of us, my house, we will serve the Lord. In my house, we will serve the Lord. At the point that we're reading in Joshua 24, We're reading at a time that the Israelites, or the Hebrew people as you've known them, that made their exodus out of the land of Egypt at this time in Joshua verse chapter number 24. They have taken control of the promised land. It's been some years past since they have now been in the promised land. But the conquest of the promised land, from the time that they got there and started the battle, it took about 5 to 7 years for them to go in and take a complete takeover. 5 to 7 years. It was a process, because just as God said, he had to move them in as he, the hand of God, gave them victory over the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Hizzites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites. God gave them victory over every nation that occupied the land that was called their promised land. It was not a place that was not inhabited. It was inhabited by others, but God gave it to them. Makes me think that the wealth of the righteous is being laid up. It's being occupied by someone else. But when you have the title, it really doesn't matter who has the deed. When you have the title, someone else may have the job, may be sitting at the desk, but you hold the title. The Hebrew people, the children of God, had the title. And God, as he moved them in, made sure that they had a clear title. 5 to 7 years it took. That seems like a long time. But when you consider what Joshua told them, that you're eating from crops that you didn't plant, living in houses that you didn't build, living in cities that you did not construct, you got to admit, that's a pretty good hookup. At this time that Joshua is preaching, declaring, speaking to the people of Israel, he's old in age now. When he arrived, he and Caleb were young men, but now they are older. They are much older. If you look back in chapter 23, verse number 1, flip back, it's not on the overhead, but you'll see it in a single verse where it says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel for all of their enemies round about them." They were gone now. And Joshua, what? He was old, and he was stricken in age. You know, Gloria, it's a good thing when God just lets you be old and let you see the wonderful works of his hand. Yes, yes, yes. You don't need nothing. You don't want nothing. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. His grace is amazing, and all you got to do is just sit back and rest and just see how good he is. I'm not quite there, but I'm close to just sitting back. You don't have to stress out and worry about stuff as much. Things that used to be important, Eddie, it's lesser of importance. And you just sit up and you think on the goodness of Jesus. You don't need no church house full of folks. You can just wave your hands and just say, "Lord, I." You know, when you get older, you start thanking God for stuff that you didn't thank him for when you were younger. A little bitty stuff. I hear my wife holler out every now and then. I used to ask her what, but I don't ask her no more. She'll say, "Well, Lord." And that's all she say. "Well, Lord." I take it that that must be something between her and God. It must be her way of telling him, thank you. Because it's hard to start telling him what you're thanking for. Because he do so much. So all you can say is just, well, Lord. Didn't get no phone calls. Kids in the hospital. No tragedy has been falling you. Well, Lord. So Joshua is on up there now, Bill Patterson. And he just sit back and just see how good God is. And that's where Joshua is. He's speaking. But something that I notice here is that he never got too old to speak on the goodness of Jesus. And it seems that he addressed all of Israel. In chapter number 8, when I look at what happened in 24, how he called them together and started telling them the story of how they came across the Red Sea, that part that I skipped, how he, you know, from verse 2, he was talking about how they came across the Red Sea, and he started giving the details, kind of recalling and recanting. Then he got down to that last verse where he said, now, after God did all of this, we need to make a choice here. Because something must have been going on, some little undercurrent, some little sub-discussions among them about some stuff that wasn't really worship to God. I don't know what Joshua heard, but sometimes it's not what you hear, it's what you see. It's the body language. It's the attitudes of people that are a little less than being thankful to God. And Joshua, if he was this old, that means he was that wise. And he saw some stuff and he thought, maybe this is a good day for me to just tell the story of how Jehovah guided us over. And when I look at that, what I want you to think about right now is ask the question, how did he talk to so many people at one time? That's where I want your focus right now. Imagine him sitting there talking to thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Is the Bible really something, or the scriptures, should I say, rather than the Bible, the scriptures, which is the inspired word of God? Is it really kind of pulling our leg here? Is it exaggerating the story? That's why when I look in Joshua 8, look down at verse number 33, I see that word, all Israel, again. Joshua 8, verse number 33. All Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on the side of the ark. Y'all know the stones that God gave them, the Ark of the Covenant? They stood on the side of the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They are holding it, as well as the strangers. Notice how people are joining in with them. They describe the strangers. They were not born among them. They just joined them. Remember how I said sometimes you look up and you see around you people, and you say, when did they start coming to what we call church here? Who are they? Who told them about us? But, you know, when you're living like that for Christ, people will just come with you. You don't have to invite them. They just come. They were all there against the Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, as Moses had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, here's what happened when they got all of these people together. He read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of law. Verse number 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel. with the women and the little ones and the strangers, they place a lot of emphasis on the size of the congregation. And did you notice that's pretty big? But what else did you notice about where they gathered? They gathered in the mountain. And when Joshua is talking to them in chapter number 24, he too is in a mountain. And when Moses would address the children of Israel, he was in a mountain. So the mountain must have something to do with the ability to broadcast to a lot of people at the same time. The mountain. When you think about it, those of you that know a little bit about history, is there not a place in the White House that you have to be very careful, called the rotunda, that you can't even whisper without someone hearing what you're saying? Something about the arch, or why do you have an outdoor amphitheater? Ampha, meaning arch. And because it helps the voice to carry so well. This vaulted ceiling has a lot to do with your ability to hear me, even without a microphone, whereas if it were flat, you wouldn't do as well. So, you know, God knows what he's doing when he chooses where you say what you say. And he wanted them to be in the mountain. So, in a statement from the scriptures, Joshua spoke to the entire nation of Israel, and he is reading them the law of Moses. I'm back in 24 now. I just wanted you all to see in 8 where it was a case where he spoke to everybody, same time. Now, practically speaking, how is it possible? Ask yourself, how can you talk to so many? When the Israelites were numbered in such great numbers, ask yourself, thousands of women and children. And there is no mention of God intervening, putting some special something in his vocal ability. We don't hear any of that. It just says that he told Joshua, and Joshua was the speaker. He spoke. The text seems so straightforward, like Joshua was just yelling at a mountain at like a 500,000 people, 500,000, even 1,000,000 possibly. So now, the answer to that, as I want to give it today, is that when a person is high on a mountain, now you got to go natural and you got to go spiritual. You with me? When a person is high on a mountain, elevated above other people, because they have been invited up by God to come up here, when speaking, their voice is going to carry and be heard above what is natural. Can I get an amen? I'm going to say that one more time. When God tells you to come up to a higher plateau, that's all it takes. So when you respond to God's call to come up to an elevated place, just obedience alone causes it now to be more than just natural. Because I'm not up here because I put myself up here, but I'm up here because this is where God called me to declare. Are y'all hear me? So now, it's almost like Jesus, when he gave the sermon from the what of Olives? Mountain of Olives. Now, see, that's going to take a different meaning from now on, because immediately you're going to know that Jesus positions himself above before he speaks. Now, are y'all hearing it already that an anointed one, a one who has been anointed to declare, is always positioned by God in a position to where what God wants to be heard will be heard. Amen. You don't have to be close to hear it. When God wants it to be heard, you're going to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So God is going to make sure that the person who is speaking and the person who is hearing has a clear, he's going to make sure that what I won't heard will be heard. Is that all right? When Jesus saw the crowds in Matthew 5 and 1, it says, when he saw the crowds, it says he went up on the mountain. He saw the crowd. Then he gets a spiritual unction to speak. That's when he goes up to the mountain. He's not in the mountain, but when he saw the crowd, he went to the mountain. Now, men, seeing that we're the heads of household, we ought to know when it's time to come on up. Sometimes our voice should be heard. But if we're going to depend on God to be the one who is going to guide the conversation, we've got to operate under an anointing. See, y'all thought I was talking about me. I'm talking about everybody who positions themselves and they want somebody to hear them that ought to hear them. You may not be a Jock or Eddie or Don. You may be a April or a Janet. But if you're the one that's in charge, when you see something and God is telling you to say something, you ought to know how to fall under his anointing so that what he wants heard can be said. Am I saying something that's making sense today? Now, in the Old and the New Testament, as I make some little movement here, I need you to listen to me. In the Old and in the New Testament, for the most part, they address communities and not individuals. That's important. Catch me now. It's very important. It's some information that you should know. Most of the time that you hear God communicating, he is speaking to the whole community and not specifically the individual. I'll tell you why that's important. It's important for us to know because in our spiritual reality, us, individual, you and I, right here, how we continue to transform, how we visualize and how we picture ourselves and how we maintain our identity, we need to know that formerly God was addressing people by community more so than individually. Let me help you. Nobody in the first century, that's like from AD to 100, from my studies, I have learned that most people in the first generation were illiterate and they couldn't read. I'm going to tell you why I believe that. It's because my first pastor couldn't read. And I was born in 1957. But the pastor, as I'm told, he couldn't read. He'd open the Bible, but he couldn't read. Yeah. Mr. James Smith, was that his name? Reverend James Smith? So I hear he couldn't read. Neither could he drive. I do know that because they had to pick him up to bring him to church. But he was our pastor. And he couldn't read, and he couldn't drive a car. A horse, but not a car. Y'all saying, how old are you? That's just back in the 60s. And he couldn't drive, nor could he read. But he was a pastor, and he could preach. Y'all thinking that's, I know it is. It's a little funny. But the people that he was speaking to, later when I became pastor, I discovered that there were a lot of the deacons that couldn't read either. This is important, you guys. This is really important. I'm telling you, and you go back, and some people out there, I don't know who all's listening, but depending on where you were, and this wasn't just in the South, but they were illiterate, and they couldn't read themselves. But in my situation, neither could the pastor read. So when the scriptures were read, it was read to those who listen. When the New Testament, the Bible, when it was written in Jesus' time, when it was read aloud by individuals, person who read, they were saying it to the whole community. Now, let me take James Smith, my pastor that I'm speaking of. If people were saved by his preaching, and God said, I'll take the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. And I'm talking about Mon Charlotte's name pastor now, back then, yeah. Miss Mary, I'm talking about their pastor right over there at Moulton Heights. Your pastor, Gloria say, my pastor. Janet say, my pastor. Now, if y'all got a word of faith and y'all truly say, obviously that man must have went up into some kind of a mountain. And he must have said what God wanted heard. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, this ain't making sense to a whole lot of people, but this need to be established because I'm going somewhere with this. And hearing by the word of God. So it's not how well read you are. It's not how well versed you are with your ability to articulate any given language. But when the Spirit of God rests upon whoever it is, trust me, the one that's doing the communicating and the one that's doing the receiving are both under the same Spirit of God. Are y'all hearing me? Consider this significant now, because this is an aspect when communities heard Jesus say something like, I say unto you, the people that gather together. Now, just imagine Jesus says, and I say unto you, I'm in several books where he said that. And I say unto you, groups of Jesus followers gathered together. And when Jesus say, I say unto you, guess what they did? They looked around at one another and say, he's talking to us. Uh-huh. I say unto you. No specific person, just I say unto you. So the listeners are with one another in the community, in the group, saying, he's talking to us. They look around at one another and they have to say to one another, he's saying to us that we need to. Dot, dot, dot. Uh-huh. I say unto you. And after hearing the scriptures, they will begin to ask each other, hear me now, are y'all hearing me? If he's saying this to us, we need to. Now the question becomes, how are we going to get this done? How are we going to get this done? How are we going to follow the words that we just heard? What do you think that we ought to do about what Jesus said? How often is that the conversation in your house? When somebody asks somebody else, how are we going to get what Jesus said done? Uh-huh. Or we ask, how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that? How are we going to work this out? How are we going to work that out? But how often does the question become, how are we going to get done what Jesus said? They did not consider their discipleship as something separate from the community. They felt like, this is for not just one of us, this is for all of us. You got to remember that if when I came up in Moulton Heights, if I got in trouble over your house, by the time that I got home, I was already in trouble in my own house, because the community held everybody who was in a leadership or a head of a household responsible for not only taking care of their own, but they were to take care of everybody. Now, I didn't want to eat at everybody's house, but if I was hungry at somebody's house or appeared to be hungry, when I was there, they would just feed you. Huh? But if you go over, send your child over somebody's house now, they're going to want to know, did your mama send some money with you? Did your daddy send you? What you going to eat while you here? Huh? See, notice that things have changed when it comes to the community, and no one is no longer crying out, how are we going to carry out what Jesus said? I'm going somewhere with this. Two or three people would be involved in a conflict, arguing, fussing, fighting, bickering over something. And they glance at each other and they say, you know, Jesus said that we need to resolve our issues. But you know what we do today? Ask me. Please ask me. Straight to Facebook. Huh? Now, we ain't went to talk to the Lord about it. We ain't went to, we take it straight to the book. I'm preaching. I'm strictly talking about Facebook right now. I'm talking about Facebook, Meta. Call it what you want. I'm talking about Meta. If you want to know what's going on and what's happening in Decatur, do not go to Decatur Daily. You go to What's Happening in Decatur. If you want to know what preacher is acting out, what pastor is all out of place, if you want to know what happened to Sarah and James, and why all of a sudden he living in an apartment and she living in the house, or you see it's for sale, or if you even want to know who died last night, who shot who, how many shots were fired, go. You don't have to wait to read the obituary. Go to Facebook. It's right there. Huh? It's right there. It is as though Facebook holds some spacious amount of Holy Ghost or something, where it is now the infallible truth. When we want to know whether it's a fact or not, we go straight to Facebook. Who is it? I don't know. Wait, I'll show you a picture of them. I'll show you what they ate last night. I'll show you where they went on vacation. I'll show you the color of their bikini. I will show you that the kids didn't go. I can show you whose house they stayed over when they went on vacation. All on the book. Am I preaching? Hmm? All of our dirty laundry? Facebook. Hmm? You better be careful what you shared with somebody, because it will end up. I'm preaching. And our children have such a dependency. They get in an argument and all of the words been said on, because when they come out, they coming out shooting. No questions asked. You disrespected me on Facebook. And now I'm going to drive by and I'm going to take you out. In early times, I can see how this practice worked well for people when it was community. But y'all know what we got? We got a new thing now called culture. I'm going to preach. It was much more then than just a tradition, but now it's all about tradition. It was more than just some ritualistic, it was, and some practice, it was community. It was something, but now it's culture. A society, yes, but a well-developed society. I want to zero in on culture. Put that up on screen. What is a culture? Listen to this, and I'm going to be ready to close. A culture can be defined as all the ways of life, including art, beliefs. Y'all see that? Beliefs. Institutions of a population that are passed down from one generation to another generation. Culturally, we like collard greens and cornbread. One generation to the next. When is collard greens and cornbread best? When you eat it with your fingers. That's culture. That ain't nasty. That's not being taught. That's culture. Now don't frown on it. Don't look down on that. Don't look down because somebody pick up cornbread and collard greens with their fingers. Huh? That is what?
Culture.
Passed down from. Now you got to remember that that came from somewhere where they didn't have what we call forks. But now we believe because we got a fork, then that's what you ought to eat with. But if offending you, if me eating with my fingers offends you, I won't eat with it now. But that don't mean that I'm going to stop eating with my fingers. All right? Culture has been called the way of life for an entire society. As such, it includes codes, manners, dress, language, religion, rituals, and art. So now we got something that is reciprocating between one and the other. I'm getting ready to close. What I believe against my culture. And what I believe, which is my faith, can sometimes be determined by my culture. Because in my culture, we ain't had church until we've been there for an hour, hour and a half, two, three. That's culture. A funeral ain't a funeral until we done had a song, the scripture, a song, the acknowledgments, the how you feel, the what you remember them at. 3 hours later? Huh? Culture. And then your white constituents go to their funeral the next day, and they go in there, and 15 minutes later they're coming out, and you say, I thought you had to go to the funeral. Culture. We went in, we waved bye-bye, took a tissue, wiped an eye, and we still trying to get Mary off the floor. We have put culturally stuff under her nose to sniff. I'm not making a mockery of this. I'm just telling you what culture dictates. We have shook her, took a shoe off and put it under her nose. Y'all don't remember it. Don't worry about it. We have did everything to try to get her up, and she's still out. All right? Culture, rituals, religion. And then here it is culturally that he says, put his hands on you, and you're supposed to go, but ain't nothing moving you. And you standing there, so he push you. Because culturally, you're supposed to go out. But if ain't nothing moving me, then why should I go? I'm not making a mockery. I'm just making it clear. What we believe versus culture. Because they're reciprocating what I believe, my faith, and culture. Culture says, do it. My faith says, be still. Culture says, move. My faith says, stand. Culture says, go. My faith says, stay. My faith says, yes. And culture says, no. Culture is a blind spot. I'm finished now. It's something that we normally don't even think about. I'm going to help you here. Let me tell you when culture come to play, and I'm going to put it together with Facebook. Until somebody comes in and begin to ask you something about your culture, you don't even really pay it any attention. But let somebody challenge you about something that you feel is culturally right, and you will lose your faith. Or you let somebody. Let me tell y'all what we said. Don't make me put my religion on the self. Because culturally, that's what you do. Culturally, if you do something to me, I don't care what Jesus said. Right now, you finna get these hands. Huh? Because my mama told me, if somebody hits you, you better hit them back. Because that's what culture tells me to do. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying today. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to hang right there. Now, let me go ahead and get this closed. Now, it came to pass in Joshua's days that these folks got like a fat rat sitting out in the sunshine. We sitting over here in our big cities, living the life of Riley, got it made. Ain't nobody tired and nobody got dirt under their nails. Because God has been just that good to them. Sent a man that all he had to do was just lift himself up on a mountaintop, open up his mouth and declare what thus says the Lord. Read off the commandments and God gave him a vocal ability. Y'all hear me? Joshua read that and he did it faithfully. But there came a time in his old age where he heard talk of them saying and looking and listening and noticing that what they really had in their real character is that they were more into the gifts than they were the giver. They got more excited about what God gave them than who God was himself. So I thought that it'd be a good day on the 23rd of June to tell y'all that you ought not to forget the great Jehovah that got you over. The one that was there that carried you when you couldn't carry yourself. He been good to you. He been good to your mother and your father. He been good to your children. When you didn't have enough, he made up the difference. And when everybody else said no, if you really look back, you made it anyhow. When you went to family and family didn't want nothing to do with you, God got you through it anyhow. And if I could just get one somebody to agree with me, he been good to me. I'd stand up if they said that, because Lord, you've been ooh-wee, you've been good to me. And you know, what I feel like in this time where culture says that I ought to put it on Facebook, I think that I would declare it from the 66 books that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. So what I'm going to do in my house, I don't know what you're going to do in yours, but as for me in my house, we will give God thanksgiving. Do you hear what I said? Every breath of my body. Somebody say he's deserving of it. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And you want to know why? And then I'm going to leave y'all alone for real, that I love him like I do is because I don't have to be there for God to show up. And when he does show up, he shows out. Do you hear me? You see, Don got a call this morning from one of his children. Ooh-wee. That said, Daddy, my friend is outside with a shotgun. Y'all don't know it. But see, This what I had. This the note I had to come to church on this morning. My friend is outside with a shotgun, and I'm scared. Ooh-wee. And you know what I told her? You just sit right there. But I need you to come, Daddy. Somebody already there. Oh, yes. And before I went live today, the boy's brother came and picked him up. But when I called the brother said, Reverend Hurth, you know who I am. Mm-hmm. And when he told me who I was, he said, you remember when I was studying Hebrew, you told me what the scripture said. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my way to get my brother. And you tell your daughter that he's going to be all right. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. As for me and my house. Oh, I ain't got it easy, but I got God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? I don't have it easy, but you tell your neighbor, I got God. And as for me in my house. Now, wait a minute. You think that I think that I'm a failure because my child is crossed up, hooked up, bamboozled, hoodwigged. Oh, no. I'm going to say what Joshua said. As he was with Abraham, so shall he be with you. Tell your children, when everybody walks out on you, won't he be there? Oh, yes, he will. You turn and tell your mother, April. Thank you, Mama, for telling me about the bright and morning star. You tell your mother, thank you for telling me that he is just what he said that he is. And oh, Mama, when you didn't have a word, thank you for showing me how to trust him and hold on to his unchanging hand. As for me in my house, shucks y'all, yes I will. I'm done. Woo! Yes I will. As for me and not in it. Huh? Culture ain't gonna dictate this thing to me. I ain't gonna get right here and get foolish, John. I'm gonna hold on to what I know. And I ain't talking about a tradition, and I ain't talking about a ritual. That's why it's important to know that y'all ain't leaning on Don. Y'all leaning on the Lord. Because Don can't do nothing but fall with you. But if you leaning on the Lord, you lean on him, and then when he grab you, you grab me. And you tell me, hold on. Huh? I pray you've been helped today. As for me and my house. See, I'm creating a whole new community here. I'm doing this thing. They thought they was going back doors doing all these new fancy things and stuff like that. They thought they was going back doors. They got us worried about all the wrong stuff. What day we gonna do it, what time we gonna do it, and all of that. The scripture teaches you, if eating meat offends your brother, he didn't say stop eating it. He said be big enough in your eating meat not to eat it in front of your brother. That's why I told you, if you eat with your fingers and you and God good with that, you just be big enough to say, you know what, I can handle it this time, give me a fork. But I promise you that it's just as good. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I ain't going to bother y'all with no chitlins, but you can keep them. Give my portion to somebody else. But you know, y'all enjoy them. But if you ever get some neck bones, holler at your boy. Call me. If you really know how to cook them now. And I don't want no naked. I want some mean on them. You get some oxtails, holler at them. I'm good for it. Good turnip greens. Make it right. Make them nice and good. Put some little mustard in there so it gives some flavor. Them greens, sometimes they be tasty. Put a little mustard in there, mustard green, so we get it right. And if you know how to cook cornbread, I ain't talking about you cooking. I say you know how to cook. Then you give me a little of that. and I'm going to go to town. But the chillings, y'all go ahead. Knock yourself out. Get full. Amen. As for me and my house, what we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. I have stood from the mountain this morning, and I have declared the word of God unto you. People of God, you go your way. Take care of your community and stop letting culture dictate you. Because if I see you on Facebook, I ain't going to holler back on you there, but you're going to hear from me. I'm going to tell you. Amen. So don't get upset at me. I'm going to tell you there's a better way. Amen. Because these folk don't care nothing about you. They just want something to go and retweet on there. They just want to be the one. They want to be the, everybody want to be the first one to tell it. Ain't that it? They want to be, and they'll tell it like they was the one that created it and got it from somewhere else. Amen. That's what that's all about. We in some sad times, but that's what culture is all about, people. I love you all, and I pray that you love someone else. Come to your feet, and let's make ready to go our way this morning. Amen. God bless you. Love someone. Tell someone to love God with all of their heart, and I look forward to seeing you all. Let me say this. Not next Sunday. Next Sunday is the 4th of July. This week coming? It's the next one? All right, let me get it clear now. It's not this coming weekend. We will be off. So I'll be here next Sunday. But that next week, what's that going to make it? The 6th or the 7th of July? That Sunday? 6th? Uh-huh. 6th, okay. Okay, we won't be here. But we'll be here this coming Sunday, the last weekend in June. All right, you won't be here? They'll be here. Okay, so y'all got that straight? And then prepare to just enjoy yourselves for the holiday weekend. I love you. God loves you more. In my house, and my house, we're going to serve him.